Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I am a person for whom being creative is terrifying. It is the most rewarding thing that I can do. But it is a constant struggle with a very clear feeling that I am out of gas every day.
As you can probably guess, this isn't a story about the happy ever afters, the lucky ones, the couples who grow more inseparable with age. Not even close.
And when you go into a bookstore, a used bookstore, or a record shop, or whatever it is, you know, you push all that stuff to the side, put your phone away, turn your phone off, in the words of Mike Montgomery, and just let it kind of wash over you and find something that you were not expecting at all.
On the way, samples from Freakonomics, Over My Dead Body, and Local Exposure. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe even help you find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here email blast at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. Now, with special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing, research, and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Get ready to forget everything you thought you knew. The guys who brought you the groundbreaking Freakonomics series have a podcast of the very same name. Discover the hidden side of everything with Stephen Dubner, co-host of Freakonomics Books, and each week, co-host of Freakonomics Radio. That podcast dismantles conventional wisdom and explores the unseen forces that shape our world every day. From the economics of sleep to how to become great at just about anything. Freakonomics Radio has the data, the research, and the expertise to help you make sense of life. And each week, Dubner speaks with Nobel laureates, provocateurs, intellectuals, and entrepreneurs, and various other underachievers to share stats, crack jokes, and build up Freakonomics' database of knowledge. Here's a sample for you to test out of the Freakonomics Radio episode called How to Fail Like a Pro. Takes a look at the much-feared underside of success, failure. Everyone experiences failure, even the most successful people. Well, Freakonomics Radio is here to teach you how to do it right. Take a listen.
I'm enormously self-critical. I begin and end each day with a litany of things that I consider failures and shortcomings.
Nico Muhly is a composer, the youngest ever to get a commission from the Metropolitan Opera.
Back in the day, it was a combination of self-flagellation and complete emotional neutrality. So it was like, I hated it, but I didn't care. I didn't feel anything. Like, I made this huge opera, and I thought it was really good. But literally, the sense of achievement was akin to, like, a successful morning of errands, where I'm like, I went to the dry cleaner and bought dog food.
That began to change when Muhly started on a new medication.
I had a really dark, like, mental health journey involving, like, the wrong medication, which I assumed wasn't having a bearing on my artistic output, which of course it was, but the big change in the last like 3 years is that I'm finally able to see some pieces as the end of the sentence of that conversation. So it's not, I could do better next time. It's not, I can't believe I didn't do better this last time. And the difference is insane to have written pieces now where I'm not in a state of constant self-flagellation. And I think the first piece I wrote in my new and improved version was this mass called a spiral mass. So I can hear it and enjoy it and think that that was, you know, better than 3 minutes of silence.
Fairly obvious fact that outsiders often overlook when they think about a creative lifestyle and how cool it must be. In most cases, you are both creator and critic, boss and employee. Since many people who have a boss do not like their boss, it might seem incredibly attractive to be your own, but Do you really want to be your own boss? Do you have the discipline to keep your projects on track? Do you have the temperament to drive yourself? Do you have the requisite paranoia?
I am a person for whom being creative is terrifying.
It's John Hodgman. He's done a lot of creative work over the years, most of it somewhere on the humor spectrum.
It is the most rewarding thing that I can do. But it is a constant struggle with a very clear feeling that I am out of gas every day. And that I will not be able to support myself or my family because I have now finally run out of ideas. For sure, this time I mean it. I started writing jokes for the internet, morphed into writing humor for books, morphed into doing TV on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, morphed into doing some ads for Apple Computer that gave me some acting opportunities, and all of these, I just sort of jumped from job to job very happily and very luckily, in no small part because it allowed everything to feel a little bit like a hobby. And at no point was I ever putting all of my eggs, say, into writing books, because my fear was, if I run out of gas on that, then I'm done. If I lose the ability to write a book, which sounds irrational, but it is a true fear that I have. In fact, today I have it. Then I can always fall back on the podcast, or I can always fall back on going out and touring my imitation stand-up comedy, or I can always try to get more work as an actor. It's not even a fear. It is a certainty that I'm done, that I have no further ideas, and trick my brain into providing ideas again, because they're in there. You know, so I'm 47 years old, and I've been doing this, and this and only this, whatever this is now, for 21 years.
And that's not enough of a track record to persuade yourself that there will be 21 more.
I figured out sort of rationally that I have enough data to support the suggestion that I will be able to continue. But even though I understand it rationally, in a deep part of me, I am certain it is done.
A sample from Freakonomics Radio with Stephen Dubner. Unlock the answers to questions you didn't even know you had with Freakonomics Radio, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to the Podcast Central collection this week is a podcast from Wondery, the team that brought you shows like Dirty John, Dr. Death, and this one's called Over My Dead Body, and it's a study of the limits of the human psyche and the unspeakable things people would do when pushed beyond those limits. Season one is called Tally, and then the season features Dan and Wendy, two attractive attorneys whose wedding was even featured in the New York Times. But when this perfect couple falls apart, what follows is a hurricane of bad breakups, a worse divorce, and a murder case involving a menagerie of high-priced lawyers and unexpected co-conspirators. In a tale of love, loss, justice, and revenge, Over My Dead Body is a haunting story of the lengths that people will go to get what they want. Take a quick listen. Here's a snippet from the first episode of Tally, the first season of Over My Dead Body.
Wendy Jill Adelson, the daughter of Donna Sue Adelson and Dr. Harvey J. Adelson of Coral Springs, Florida, is to be married this evening to Dan Eric Markell, the son of Ruth Markell and Phil Markell of Toronto. The bride, 26, is keeping her name.
I think it was the best wedding I've ever been to.
Avery Kohlers was a high school buddy of Dan's. He made the trip to Boca Raton for the celebration, as did around 200 other friends and family members. The weather, perfect. The venue, extravagant. And at the center of all of it, the happy couple. Dan and Wendy danced for hours with their guests.
It just felt like it was overflowing with joy and love. I mean, that sounds so corny.
I actually found an email I sent to Dan on March 4 of 2006. Hi, Dan. Congratulations and best wishes to you and Wendy. I'm sitting at home reading the Sunday Times, and lo and behold, there you are. Best, Dave. And it's funny, Dan actually responded because Dan was a very diligent email responder, even though he was on his honeymoon.
Greetings from Club Med, he wrote.
And then I responded, you're checking email on your honeymoon. You truly are a cyber addict. I thought I was bad. Don't respond to this email. Hope you're having a wonderful time.
So what makes a good marriage anyway?
I guess I would say that crucial to a good marriage is mutual respect. Love, of course, but also respect.
But as you can probably guess, this isn't a story about the happy ever afters, the lucky ones, the couples who grow more inseparable with age. Not even close.
I have to be a little circumspect here because over the years I've become very familiar with the libel laws of the United States. So I don't think I'm going to give my personal view here.
It's a story about the opposite. A bad marriage. A worse breakup. A brutal divorce.
And he stormed out. And did he say something like, I told you you should never be marrying her?
This is probably the biggest story I'll ever work on. Probably the biggest story in Tallahassee ever, I would say.
And everything that came after.
Somebody else fucking knows something because this shit would have not came out unless he told someone else. But there's nothing.
I have never said to anyone that my mom is a dangerous person.
Oh, are you saying that you think maybe one of your friends would have done something like that?
Who would do this?
From Wondery, that's Over My Dead Body. Listen to the unbelievable story of a dream marriage gone horribly wrong on Over My Dead Body. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. If you're looking to learn more about the vibrant, growing music scene in Cincinnati, you'll want to check out WVXU's music podcast. It's called Local Exposure, with updates on great local concerts, local band spotlights, and Cincy music news. Local Exposure has everything you need to become an expert in the world of Queen City music. Find your new favorite bands, hear exclusive interviews with regional talent, and never miss a live music event. Local Exposure is the perfect place to get exposed to local music. To give you a sample from Local Exposure, listen for this episode featuring Jim and Darren Blaze, founders of the eclectic, nationally recognized Northside record store, Shake It Records. They joined the show to discuss how the store was started, how they view buying records versus buying music online, and how they've kept Shake It Records in business as both a record store and a local label.
So it's impossible to not draw some comparison to Championship Vinyl from sure. High Fidelity. Yeah. Do you love the movie or do you hate the comparison?
Well, you know, I have never had an experience in a record store in that same manner of just like, I've been treated rudely at CVS and I've been treated rudely at an independently owned deli or a jeweler or wherever, you know, and it's just like sometimes people have bad days or whatever, but we try and work every day at trying to kill that stereotype.
Yeah,
of the
one,
of the grouchy clerk.
The whole stereotype of rude record store clerks, we really work hard at, you know, not having that because our customers have all this knowledge that we want to absorb too. You know, like they turn us on to stuff every day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
our job, we have our own personal interests and strengths and loves and styles of music that we like. And then our job every day is to absorb three sentences on the 200 records that are coming out that week and at least committing them to some kind of memory so you can retrieve it. Whereas the customer that's coming in, the band that they're asking about or the artist they're asking about, that's the only band that matters to them. And that's great to be enthusiastic about that one thing or whatever. And that's, you know, it's whatever gets you through the night. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
so it's just,
right.
But kind of the look of the store with, you know, T-shirts and posters mm-hmm. and incense and all that kind of stuff hanging around. I mean, I remember that from being young. But young people today, their record store is, you know, Amazon.com. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately,
and, yeah. So what's your secret for getting people physically into your store? Because there's always people in there.
Well, I think it's just once they get in there and really poke around, then it becomes apparent that this is the experience that they're really looking for as opposed to clicking on the buy key. Like a guy came in yesterday and he goes, you know, I had this list of things and there were like 10 really hard to find records on there. And he didn't find any of them, but he bought five other things. He's like, I didn't know I wanted this. You know, Humble Pie record, but it was right there, so I bought it.
Computers and cell phones and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of led to the end of, like, serendipity. Like, every time you type something into a computer or into your cell phone, it begins to narrow your searches more and more until it becomes this pinpoint.
No kidding.
And when you go into a bookstore, or used bookstore, or a record shop, or whatever it is, you know, you push all that stuff to the side, put your phone away, turn your phone off, in the words of Mike Montgomery, and just let it kind of wash over you and find something that you were not expecting at all. And so, you know, for me, my life-changing moment musically was at Everybody's Records, and I'm flipping through the bins, and I find this record by Professor Longhair. And I'm just like, man, I've never seen it. Like, this dude looks like a bad dude. And it says, Live on the Queen Mary. The photograph struck me. I'd never heard this. What is this name? And I flip it over, and I just start reading it. And it was just the impulse of picking it up. And I'm reading the liner notes, and it's talking about how it was kind of like a bootleg. And it's him performing on the Queen Mary for Paul McCartney's birthday. But the deal was is that he wouldn't play until he got paid. And they're trying to say, you're going to get paid. This guy was in the Beatles. He's got the money. He's like, I don't care. I want my money. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. This is one of the most gangster moves I've ever seen in my life. And so that sent me down the path of like New Orleans music and this and that. And I was like, I didn't know what that was. You know, and in today's world, it's just this constant narrowing. We think that the internet is opens us up to everything. And it's really, as we're finding out more and more, it's narrowing us more and
right,
more and
exactly
more.
Right, exactly right.
You know, because and it's, we're entering all these like cultural echo chambers and stuff like that. And I just kind of see like what we offer is just turn your phone off, start flipping, see what you can find. Hopefully we have what you want, but find something else too or whatever. So
the sound, the smell, the weight of records is just
the squeaky floors, little bit of like mildew in the air, you know?
Right. I mean, the covers, even the covers are so important. Like bands fight over the covers, the artwork, and the sequence of the songs more than they fight about.
That's always the last thing. Whenever we put music out, you know, when we issue stuff on the label, the last thing that always gets done is the art because everybody's fighting over it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it's just the visual representation.
It's the image, right?
My guests are Darren and Jim Blaze, the brothers behind the massively successful Shake It Records and Shake It Music label. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you're going to do to celebrate 20 years throughout the month of March. Jim, what's going on?
Well, the first thing we're going to do the first weekend in March, that's Saturday, the 2nd, is have a 20% off sale. 20 being the key number there. And so everything in the store is 20% off, and we're not depleting our inventory. We're stocking up. You know, we're not depleting our inventory so you'll buy the what's left over. We're really stocking up hard. And then every weekend after that, we're going to have almost all local bands in to play either a Friday or Saturday night. Like we're showcasing two great local labels, Soul Step Records and Sofa Burn Records. They'll each have a night where their artists perform. We also have comedian Jeff Tate, who is a Shake It favorite, who's hanging out in the store all the time. We've wanted him to do a show at the store forever, and so he's finally going to do that. So, so every weekend, you can just check our Facebook page. Every weekend, we have a pretty cool event going on, so we're happy about that.
A sample from Local Exposure from WVXU, right here. Stay in the loop on the latest local music news with Local Exposure, now on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go, our usual and customary peek at the Apple Podcast charts to see what's hot around the podcast country via iTunescharts.net. Well, as we highlighted a couple of weeks ago, three new podcasts debuted and instantly took the charts by storm. Well, that dominance continues now into March. Topping the charts are Wondery's Over My Dead Body, about a law professor found dead in 2014, and what his ex-wife knew. Then there's Throughline, NPR's look at history we may not remember. And of course, as we featured in this week's Start Here, the podcast that continues at number one, the Ron Burgundy Podcast. And they're all dominating the Apple Podcast charts. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at WVXU.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.